I appreciate you being here on this snowy Sunday morning. We are now past the middle of February. This is February 22nd or 21st, 22nd. It's one of those days this month. And we are coming up. It's hard to believe, but this is the last Sunday in February. The last Sunday in February. Next Sunday will be the 1st of March. And man, the year is going by quickly. But I want you to be praying. Living Cross is coming up. The tomb has been set up. All the scenery has been set up yesterday. I appreciate the men coming in yesterday and working on all that. We had practice up until 5 yesterday afternoon. And the first practice with the set and everything else. So I want you to be praying for that. But today, I want us to look at this new lesson. It's lesson number 8 in this series of lessons entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. This is from the Gospel of John. And we are looking today at follow the shepherd. I want to ask you today, there's a lot of people in our world that are wanting people to follow them. Our senators want us to follow them. Our governors want us to follow them. Our president wants us to follow him. Everybody wants somebody to follow them. But let me ask you today, who are you following today? I think we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus today. Above every other man, men will let you down because they're only men. The weatherman will let you down. They right up to the time it hits the ground, they can't tell you what's going to happen. Okay, but they'll be the first to report it. Amen. All right, when it happens. But you know what? I've got a Savior that's in charge of everything, and everything is running on schedule with Him. And I think I'm just going to continue to follow Him. Amen. I want to continue to follow Him. We are more than halfway through this month, in this second month in this new year. And it has gone by so quickly. It just seems like it's gone by so quickly. And as we look at this thing, I want us to really consider what we've learned so far in this series of lessons. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been teaching about the joy of the Lord and what it means to be saved. After we get saved, that joy that God puts within us, it ought to be like an overflowing river in our hearts, in our soul, for what Christ has done for us. And you know, every time Living Cross comes up, like what we're getting ready to do right now, I think about what Christ did for us on the cross. And if you get the opportunity this week, you ought to just take time to read there in the 4 Gospels about what Christ did for us. Go over and look at it in Matthew chapter 26 and 27 and Mark chapter 15 and Luke chapter 19, I believe it is, chapter 20, all down through there. John, look at it and see what Christ has done for you. And you know what? When you look and see what Christ did for us, man, my heart is overwhelmed to think that God would love me that much. I am a nobody. Last night, I was out walking Precious. I'd gotten back in. We had our Zoom class yesterday afternoon, and it was going on, I don't know, about 7:30-ish when I got home last night. And I took Precious out, and it was already late. It was already dark. And as I took her out, the lights at our house are on automatic sensors. They come on if anybody walks by, car drives up or anything like that, the lights come on. And I was standing out near the middle of the driveway out there, and I just looked up at the stars, and the sky was as black as it could be. And the stars were just shining just through them. I mean, they like diamonds in the sky. And I was telling Precious, I said, honey, look at that. Look how beautiful the heavens are that God has made for us. And she never noticed it. I mean, she didn't look at anything. But I did. And I'm going to tell you, I get to looking at things like that. And I look at those stars and all those things up there in the skies and the heavens and how the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And yet He would love someone like me as an individual. He would care for me. He would die for me. And man, I thank God for that today. I thank Him for that. And how can I not want to follow the shepherd that left the 99 to go and search for the one? Amen. He came to where I was, and He reached down His hand farther, much farther than I could ever reach up. And he did for me what I could not do for myself. And when I get to looking at that and I think about what God has done for me, I want to give him my very best. It just stirs a joy in my heart. Now, I don't know about you, but it just stirs a joy in my heart. And I'm thankful for that today. But I want us to look at today, this lesson. It's entitled, Follow the Shepherd. And I want this lesson to generate within our hearts a desire to follow the Lord in every aspect of our lives. In every aspect. Because he is indeed that great I am. He is the one that has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And we need to comprehend that today. The Gospel of John shows us at least seven reasons why we should follow the Lord. And if you want to write this down, you can do that. But I want to share some things with you here just this morning real quickly before I get into the lesson. First of all, in John chapter 6, verse 35, and in John chapter 6, verse 48, and in John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus declared to the people there, he said, I am the bread of life. I am that living bread. He's the one I was hungering for, and I never even knew it. You know what? We hunger for things in this old world to satisfy, to fill that gap within us, and we can't find it. Now, it'll give us pleasure for a little while, but it doesn't last, does it? But he said that I am the living bread. I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he told the people, he said, not only am I the bread of life, but I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. You ever stumbled around in the darkness outside? And man, you stump your toes, you hit your knees, you fall over something, you step on the dog, you make the cat screech and all these other things. Because you didn't have a light. And man, Jesus is the light. Amen. He is that light that led me out of the darkness of sin. Then in our lesson today, we're going to see how Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. And in John chapter 10, verse 7, in John chapter 10, verse 9, we see that today. We're going to look at some of that. We'll also see in John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14, how he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's what he does. He provides for them. He leads them. And as we continue our studies in John's gospel, we're going to see several other claims that Jesus made, beginning on how he told Martha over in John chapter 11, verse 25, that he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. Thank God that Jesus is not dead today. Amen. We don't have a dead Savior. We have a living Savior today. And we need to know that. That's what makes everything so special. And then in John chapter 14, verse 5, when Thomas asked the Lord, he said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus made that great proclamation. And he said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Thank God that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, in John chapter 15, he talks about how that, he says, I am the vine. I am the true vine. There are other people out there today trying to steal and to kill and to rob and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come to give life. I'm the true vine. I'm the one that gives you the life. So as we look at this lesson today, I want you to see why we follow the shepherd. Amen. Why we follow him. Now, our lesson today, Jesus, basically, he concludes his teaching at the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's describing to the people exactly what it means to follow him as the light of the world. You follow him as the light of the world. Now, as it was Jesus' custom, you'll always see that he gave folks an object lesson. He gives object lessons. Over in the corner, I've got my flannel graph stuff over here. I'm trying to get stuff cleaned up in this outer office. I have a place to keep it. And I use flannel graph. I use pictures a lot when I'm preaching at the nursing home or with the young people or even sometimes with adults. And I'll use these pictures, you know, put up on the flannel graph to show folks, let them see with their eyes so they can understand what they're hearing with their ears. And it settles in their heart and it never leaves them. And Jesus was the master teacher. He was great at what he taught. He taught in parables. He gave illustrations. He gave object lessons. And he tried to help folks to see that were spiritually blind. And in the lesson, he heals a blind man of his physical blindness, which in turn healed this man of his spiritual blindness. He turned him to himself, to the Lord. And that's what our Savior does. And that's why we sang that song today. What a friend we have in Jesus. I want folks to remember the friendship that we have with the Lord Jesus today. Now, he's either your friend or you're his enemy. I would rather be a friend of the Lord. Amen? Moses was considered to be a friend of the Lord. Abraham was a friend of God. I want to be known as a friend of the Lord. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother today, folks. And we need to keep our eyes on him. So I want us to look at this lesson. Beginning in John chapter number 8 today, we're going to start where we left off last week at verse number 12. And we're going to go all the way down through the end of this chapter and look at it. The Bible said here in John chapter 8, verse number 12, we follow Jesus, the light of the world. He's the light of the world. Now look at it with me in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. After forgiving that sinful woman, you remember last week? The scribes and the Pharisees brought this woman and cast her down at the feet of Jesus and said, Master, this woman was taken in the act of adultery. Moses said she ought to die, but what do you say? And they were trying to tempt him. And they were trying to prove to the people around them that they knew more about God's word than what the Son of God knew. And you remember how Jesus just stooped down in the dirt. And he just wrote a little something there and he looked back up at them and he said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And one by one, they begin to disperse. They begin to turn away. They begin to drop their rocks. And no one cast a stone at that woman. And while that woman's laying there on the ground, ashamed of what she'd done, ashamed of being caught with this thing. You got to remember, listen, the Bible said the man and the woman were to die. Both of them were to die. They only brought the woman. Makes you think that, you know, one of their fellow friends or whatever was involved with this stuff. But we don't know that. We don't know what the situation was. But that situation changed that woman's life for all eternity. Jesus looked at her and said, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Doth no man condemn thee? And I can imagine with tears in her eyes and a humbled heart, she looked at him and she said, No man, Lord. No man. And Jesus looked down to her and he said, Neither do I condemn thee. Now go and sin no more. Amen. You know what? He bestowed upon her the light of his great love and his mercy. And you know, when I look at this thing and I consider what Christ did for her, how he forgave her of all that sin, he has done the same thing for me. He's done the same thing for you today. And there ought to be an attitude of gratitude within us today that we would want to choose to follow the Savior. We would want to follow the shepherd today. And here, after forgiving this woman, Jesus showed them the change in her attitude towards sin by announcing the fact that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know what? When I got saved, I didn't want to go and do the things I did before I got saved. He changed my wonder. Amen. He changed my desires. He focused me on walking in the light and not in the darkness anymore. You know, it's an amazing thing. I remember being in scouts. And I never will forget being taken on my first snipe hunt. Okay? I don't know if you've ever been snipe hunting before. But boy, they made an experience for us, let me tell you. And they were down in the bushes rattling things and splashing in the water, throwing big rocks in there and making it sound like, boy, this creature was really big. We needed to be really, you know, careful about what we were doing and things like that. And man, you get down there and there's no light. You don't know what you're looking for. You don't know what's out after you. You don't have a clue. And then when you find out it's all a joke, you feel so stupid. And you know what? You carry that lantern with you. You carry that flashlight with you. We had a little flashlight that you could pin it on the front of your shirt, and it would shine forward, okay? And we kept that light where we could see the path that we could walk on. And it kept us on the right trail so that we'd know where to go. But you know what that light also did? It not only showed us where we needed to go, but it kept us from getting in the places we didn't need to go. Amen? That's the great thing about the light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, I want you to look at this. I want you to see the results of discipleship here. You know, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be discipled in the Word of God. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have preaching service. That's why we have the children's ministries and the bus ministries and things like that, to bring people in so they can learn what God wants them to do in this new life that we have in Christ. So as we look here, beginning in verse number 12, notice here that after proclaiming himself to be the light of the world, Jesus talks about the one who follows him. And this is what he said. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now that word followeth there, it relates to a person who not only realizes the change that Jesus has made in their life spiritually, okay, but they now choose, because of their love and their thankfulness of heart to the Lord God for saving them, they now choose to live a life of loving obedience unto the Lord. They choose to love the Lord. They choose to follow the one who has saved them and brought them out of sin. He's brought us out of the miry clay and has set our foot upon a solid rock. Amen? That's what Christ did for us. And now that one that is following the Lord is not going to walk willfully in darkness. Sometimes I see folks that say, well, I'm saved, but you know, I just don't see the need to go to church. I don't see the need to read my Bible. I don't see the need to have prayer. I don't see the need to just, you know, spend time in prayer and all that. Listen, there's something wrong with you folks. It really makes you wonder if a person like that is saved, if they don't have a desire for anything that God has for them. I wonder about their salvation. Is it really real? Is it here? Or are they missing heaven by about 18 inches? Is it here just in their head to know about God? Or do they really in their heart know God and have a personal relationship with him? My wife, sometimes I can talk to her on the phone and I can tell when I talk to her just in her vocal patterns, okay, if she's in a good mood, a bad mood, or one that just says, I'll call you back in a little bit, okay? You can tell by the way the voice pattern is, okay? You can tell that. And you know what? We need to have the right voice pattern with God. We don't go to God demanding this, demanding that, and God, if you really love me, then you won't let this happen. Lord, wherever you lead me, I'll follow you. If you lead me through the path of distress, I'm going to trust you. If you lead me through the pathway of pain and anguish, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have faith because you're the shepherd. You're the one leading me. You're the one guiding me. And folks, that's the way we need to look at it today. Look at this. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I want you to notice here that Jesus gives a two-part promise to those who choose to follow him in love and obedience. A two-part promise. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. What causes a person who once lived in vile wickedness and immorality and did things that they knew were wrong to suddenly desire within their heart to live differently? What causes that? What causes them to talk differently, to dress differently, to act differently, and to forsake the old lifestyle that they used to have before they came to know the Lord? What causes all that? I'll tell you what causes it. They realize what Christ has done for them, and they have received him into their heart, and it's called salvation. He has saved us from sin, from the penalty of sin. And it's all through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know the second part of that promise. Not only will he not walk in darkness, but look at the second part of it. He said, but shall have the light of life. You will have the light of life. Sometimes we don't know what to do in this life. It's just like we're standing in a dark room. We don't have a clue which way to go, what to do, or anything. But Christ is that light. And when a person accepts God's love and mercy and is truly born again, the Holy Spirit of God that now indwells us, that now controls us or desires to control us, he's the one that gives the light of life to lead us and to guide us in the way that we should go. And he's the one. What do? We quench the Spirit. We quench the Spirit, don't we? Well, Lord, I don't think that that's what you would have me to do. Thursday night, Lisa and I went visiting, and I wanted to visit somebody that they had sent me a note. He'd been in the hospital, and it was an older gentleman, and he was coming home from the hospital and had a real bad blockage in his intestines and things like that. They got rid of it. And so we went by that night. It was raining Thursday night. I got out and stepped in the mud. Had mud up to my ankles, it seemed like, right there at the drive where we were. The house was totally dark. No lights, couldn't see anything. I thought, well, I'm going to bang on the door. Maybe somebody will come out and look or something, a neighbor or somebody. And from inside, I could hear a voice said, hello, come on in. And so I opened up the door, and it was totally dark in the kitchen area there. Had the kitchen to the right, the stairways leading up to the second floor. And I heard a man's voice saying, come on in, who is it? Well, I think I would have been asking who it is before I'd said, come on in. But he said, come on in, who is it? And I said, it's Pastor Ray from church. Oh, come on in, preacher. And I went in and sat down with him. And he still had the bandages and where he had the IVs and had the bracelet on his arms and stuff like this. I was talking to him and praising the Lord. We were just praising the Lord. He is home from the hospital. And so I sat there on the side of the chair, and I asked him, and I said, now, are you sure that if this thing had not worked out like it did, are you sure that you'd have gone to heaven if you'd have died? He said, preacher, I've thought about it a lot of times, and I just don't know. I don't know. And I said, well, would it be all right? Could I show you how you could know? He said, well, sure. And he's watching the ball game. And there was some kind of ball game going on, basketball or something, I think it was. I don't even remember now. And I said, now, can we turn this down or something? He said, oh, no, 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 I'll listen to you. And he looked me eyeball to eyeball as I'm talking to him. And I shared the message of the gospel with him. And he bowed his head and he trusted Christ as his Savior. Man, I thank God for that. When we left, I got in the car and told my wife, and I was all excited that he'd gotten saved. I said, but there's another guy that's in the hospital. I want to go by and see him. I just Man, I just got a desire to just go see him. And it was already heading toward 8 o'clock. And I thought, well, if I get there, they're going to, you know, say I'm late. They're going to fuss and all this other stuff at the hospital. And I told her, she said, well, if you feel like that's what the Lord wants you to do, you ought to do it. And I'm thinking, well, she's the second spirit, okay, that leads me, okay? Spirit of God is already telling me you need to go. And she said, well, we ought to go. She said, this time I'm just going to sit out in the car. And so she sat in the car while I went in the hospital. Went in, the security guard said, listen, it's late. When you get back down, just put the badge over here in this drawer. He showed me where to put it. I said, fine, I'll do that. Went upstairs and gave that man the gospel. Now, he did not get saved. But I had the opportunity to share the message of the gospel with him and share with him what Christ could do for him if he would just be willing to put his faith and trust in Christ as his own personal Savior. And you know, I left there knowing that I had done what the Spirit of God said do. Now this man, his appendix had ruptured. A place in his intestine had perforated. And all the stuff went out inside his body, and he was really sick. He'd been there since the 5th of February. Already lost 30 pounds in the few weeks he had been in the hospital. He was up walking. They were trying to get him up walking when I got there. And I walked him back to the room, and we sat there, and we talked for a good while. It was going on probably 9 o'clock, 8:35, 9 o'clock, before I got out of the hospital. And he did not trust Christ as his Savior. But you know what I did? What the Spirit of God said do, I planted that seed. And folks, sometimes we think, oh, these people won't listen. They don't want to hear the gospel. They won't ever listen to me. If the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart about speaking to them and telling them, you need to do it. You need to do it. We don't know when the last opportunity may be for somebody to hear the gospel and choose to be saved. So we need to be willing to do what the Spirit of God leads us to do. But many times we choose not to do that, don't we? We say, well, you know, somebody will tell them. You know, if I don't tell them, somebody will do it. Well, you know what? We're always looking for that somebody, aren't we? To go and do what we need to be doing. Jesus said here, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that light dwells within us, folks. We need to be willing to follow him and walk in that light today. The Pharisees didn't like what Jesus had to say. The Pharisees didn't want to accept anything that Jesus said. They didn't care. And they challenged him about it, even calling him a liar. But once again, according to their own laws set forth in the Old Testament scriptures, Jesus went back and he showed them truth. And you know, the Bible said there in John chapter 8, verse 20, while they still sought to take Jesus and then put him to death, the Bible said these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Jesus came on a mission. And the mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. And folks, that's what we need to be doing today. We need to follow the shepherd. Now, I want you to look at this in verses 21 through 30. We see Jesus' reminder here to his disciples. He gave his disciples a reminder. God's conditions for salvation are seen here in verses 21 through 24. I want you to look at it. John chapter 8, verses 21 through 24. Listen to what he said. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. Boy, what a sad statement. He was there. The Word, the living Word, was standing before them. And they chose not to receive him. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to go my way. You're going to seek for me. but you're going to die in your sins. He knew the choice that they would make. And yet he loved them anyway. Now look at the next verse. Then said the Jews, and they're saying this mockingly, okay? They're saying this mocking. Will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. That's a kind way of telling them, you're out of hell. The doctrine you're teaching is out of hell. You are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You see the reminder here, the conditions for salvation? If you don't believe what the Bible says, if you don't believe what God did for you, if you don't believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for you, you're going to die in your sin. And you will be forever separated from the Savior. What a sad condition to be in. But that's where each one of us were, folks. Think about this. Before we got saved, that's where we were. And now, God has saved us. Sadly, in verse 27, I want you to look at what verse 27 says. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. They understood not. They chose not to believe. And you know what? They just continued to walk in darkness. They were not looking through eyes of faith. They were not trusting the words of the Savior. But they were still walking in darkness. And then look at verses 28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as a result, though the religious crowd turned him aside, though the religious crowd rejected his message of God's saving truth, they turned it aside, they mocked him, they made fun of him, they desired only to get rid of him, to kill him off. Look what the Bible said in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. I never will forget talking to one of the boys that I went to school with. We were in the same scout troop. We went to the same church, the Moravian church that we went to. They taught us there that our works, our deeds, our actions is what got us into heaven. I'd been sprinkled and all this other stuff. And I told him, I said, don't you want to trust Christ as your Savior? I know what the Lord has done for me. And he looked at me and he said, you know what we've been taught, and I'm just going to choose to believe that. And I don't know if Ricky ever got saved. I don't know if he ever got saved. But he rejected the truth. But I love this verse. But as he spake these words, many believed on him. Now I want you to look at this. In verses 31 through 59, I want you to see Jesus' requirements for discipleship. Jesus' requirements for discipleship. Beginning here in verse number 31 and 32, look at what he said. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, what the world needed, what these religious teachers needed to see from these folks in the lives of these believers, they needed to see proof of ownership. Amen? Proof of ownership. When I got saved, I got a new name. I was called a Christian. I belong to Christ now. Amen? And you know what? He changed my lips. He changed my thoughts. He changed the desires in my heart. Why? To show proof of ownership. I no longer serve that old taskmaster, the devil, anymore. I served him for too long. Now I was a child of the King. Amen. And Jesus looked at these folks. The Bible said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Not the ones that were still making fun, not the ones that were mocking. He just set those aside. And he said, let me talk to you that have trusted me as your Savior. And he said something that our pastor says here all the time. He said, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. What is our pastor always telling us? Get in the book and let the book get in you. Amen? You know why? Jesus explains it here. Why should we get in the Word of God? Why should we get the Word of God in us? He said, because ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? Thank God for the Word of God. And in verse 32, Jesus told them that those who would continue in his teaching and in his word would not only give proof of discipleship, but they would know the truth of God's word even while living in the midst of a dark world of sin. And this truth would set them free from the bondage of sin that they had been brought out of. Folks, listen. When the light of God's word showed me the truth, I didn't want to go back to those things anymore. I never will forget, I was working on my Eagle Award in Boy Scouts. And our scout troop leadership had changed. They met, they did their campouts on the weekend, okay, behind the church building, okay, in the woods, behind the church building there. They did their campouts on the woods, in the woods there. And those guys were bringing in pornography and all kinds of stuff. And I just could not do that anymore. And I didn't want to be a part of it. I wanted to be an Eagle Scout. Man, you got your name in the paper. You got your picture in the paper. It was a big thing. And I had to make a decision. And I said, Lord, I know what you've done for me. And there's no changing these people. They're not going to change. But you've already changed me. And I can't continue this. And I was just a few merit badges away from being able to get that Eagle Award. And I told them, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm quit. And I never went back again. Now, some of those other guys continued on. They got their Eagle Award. And I'm glad for them and all this good stuff. But you know what? I got a greater reward than they ever got. Because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It wasn't on the Winston-Salem Journal and Sentinel, okay? But my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belonged to me. And if I continued on in that stuff, then I wasn't proving much of anything about a testimony for Christ. And you know what? I don't regret it to this day. I don't regret it. I ended up being a Life Scout. That was one that had the little red heart on it and the Boy Scout emblem in the middle of it. I was a Life Scout. And you know what? That's because I got a new life. I got a new life in Jesus. Amen? He changed my heart and my life. And this can also be seen down in, look at verse number 36. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen? That's what Christ can do for somebody. Yet many of the people did not understand the words of Jesus, and they questioned him again in verse 33. Look at it. Verse 33, they questioned him. We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus tried to explain it to him there in verses 34 and 36. I'm not going to take time to read those verses. But he summed it all up here in verse number 37. And he said this. He said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Boy, that summed it all up, did it not? This word of God, this living word of God, meant nothing to them. The God that they said they loved and they served truly meant nothing to them. His word meant nothing to them. And that's what caused them to reject the words of Christ. And in verse 38 through verse 41, Jesus again here speaks of God his Father, but they still refused to accept his words. They refused to accept anything. And in the latter part of verse 41, here's what we read. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And you know what they were saying? They were trying to say that Jesus was an illegitimate child. We be not born of fornication, accusing our Savior. But you know what? Jesus didn't stop there. He continued to love them. He continued to give them the Word of God. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll tell you how he did it, all right? All right? I'm going to have to stop right there. You see why I want to follow the shepherd today? You and I need to follow the shepherd. Keep your eyes on him, and he'll see you through. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I know that, boy, there are many here today that have trusted you as their Savior. And, Lord, they have been mocked, and they've been made fun of because of the new life that they have in Christ. But, Lord, I pray, God, today that through the lesson today that they would see, Lord, that we get the opportunity to walk in light. We're not walking in darkness anymore. We have the light of the Word of God. We have the light of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. Help us, Lord, to follow the shepherd today. Help us, God, to walk in the light and to be an example of the believers before everyone that we come in contact with. Help us, Lord, to show proof of ownership and who really we belong to today. God, help us to be that example that you'd have us to be. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do in our lives. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. Lord, we just thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.